I would like to join the governor's office and other distinguished guests in welcoming you to Wisconsin's 35th annual tribute and ceremony honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. In years past, I've had the honor of co-hosting this grand event, the oldest official state ceremony in our nation. I am so proud to join you today, a day when we honor and remember Dr. King. Through his life's work, Dr. King taught us the power of character and courage, the power of working towards something bigger than ourselves, and the power and strength we gain as a community when we commit ourselves to the idea that we are all in this together. Of course, this year's celebration takes on added meaning as it also marks the 50th anniversary of the Selma to Montgomery Voting Rights March. Ten years ago, I had the privilege of joining my colleague, Congressman John Lewis, and others on a pilgrimage to Alabama to remember the civil rights movement and honor the sacrifices of those who came before us to help build an America guided by the words of Dr. King, that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So, on this day, let us take the time to remember all the triumphs, but let us take the time to rededicate ourselves to writing a history of progress that we can proudly pass on to future generations, a history that tells the unique American story of leaving to the next generation a country that is more equal, not less.
Good afternoon. I'm Dina Wright. Again, thank you and welcome for being here this afternoon and taking part in Wisconsin's official state ceremony honoring the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. You know, in its 35th year, our great Badger State holds the honor of having the oldest celebration in the nation. You know, it's been clearly documented by those who knew Dr. King that he loved music, mostly spirituals and hymns, of course. It was music that guided him through those troubled times. His wife, who was a trained classical vocalist, once said in her autobiography that he wasn't the greatest soloist, but he blended in well with the choir. Music has certainly been a significant part of Dr. King's birthday celebration. Today, we continue that tradition with the University of Illinois Black Chorus, conducted by Dr. Ollie Watts Davis.
I open my mouth.
I invite you now to stand with me and join me as we pause to honor those who, like Dr. King, paid the ultimate price for freedom. And afterwards, please remain standing as First Nation American Gerald Cleveland Sr. renders today's invocation.
I'll say good afternoon to all you friends and relatives. Nice to see this many people here in honor of Martin Luther King. And today, they've asked me to say our prayer today, and I will be saying it in part of our Ho-Chunk language and part of it in our English language. So I ask you to bear with me a little bit. I'll be praying for all of you and the people that are in mourn, the people that are sick, and our elders and our warriors. So I ask you to please bear with me. I ask you today to bless all our relatives and all our friends that have come here today and all our people here on this Mother Earth, and that we could have peace and harmony, and we can have equality and freedom, all the things that Martin Luther King Jr., all the things that he wanted and that he prayed for. We all pray for those same things. We ask you, God, to help us, and we ask you in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, to be with us today, each and every day, and bring us world peace, Heavenly Father. You know the things that we've been going through recently, all the killings that have been going on this earth, and we shouldn't be doing those kind of things. We should be loving one another, caring about one another, and helping each other, and make this world a better place to live for all of our future children and our grandchildren and all our relatives. I ask all of you, in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, worship and kiss you into his kick day. Amen. Thank you.
And now it is my, you can be seated. Thank you so much. It is my distinct pleasure to bring to the podium, and perhaps for some, introduce you to a guy who has been spearheading this event over the 35 years it's been in existence. He is certainly the driving force, the spirit, and the organizer of this annual event commemorating the life and legacy of Dr. King. Please help me in welcoming Wisconsin's own Dr. Jonathan Overby.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Know something about that, Pastor? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Come on, Leotha. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Let's do this. Come on, y'all sing. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Do you know the song? Sing it. Soon and very soon, oh, we are going to see the King. Here we go. No more marching. Whoa. We are going to see the King. Hey, no more Thank you very much, everyone. Good to see you. I hope you're doing well today and you're ready for a wonderful celebration of Dr. King's life. I hope so. Welcome again. And I thank Leotha Stanley, who is here, my very good friend, Wisconsin-based musician and composer. He's pretty much a household name in these parts, written a couple of books for kids and composed all kinds of music. He's the music director for Madison's Mount Zion Baptist Church. He's been doing so for more than 370... Oh, I'm sorry, wait a minute. I'm sorry, 37 years. Because if that were true, Lee, you would be a contemporary of Galileo, so we wouldn't want... Anyway, please give him a hand. I've asked him if he'd do a special piece today with Leotha Stanley, One Accord, with soloist Tammy Stanley. Give him a hand. There they are.
If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word and show somebody how they're traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. And cheer somebody with a word or song. If I can show somebody that they're traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain.
Thank you again, Tamara Stanley. And as the song says, live a life of purpose. Do not let your living be in vain. Let's take a listen again to the University of Illinois Black Chorus under the direction of Dr. Ollie Watts.
Another hand, please, for the University of Illinois Black Chorus. And now a very special moment. Each year, we ask you to stand and greet a stranger or your neighbor in the spirit of good community. Would you do so now, please? Once again, thank you very much for coming out, watching, and listening to our celebration here in Wisconsin of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Wisconsin's annual tribute and ceremony is about more than honoring a fallen American hero who fought for justice. It's also about his legacy of love for his people, his country, racial reconciliation, and forgiveness. Moreover, his impassioned call to a life of service to others and a spirit of good community was directed toward all Americans. He dreamed that this would be a pathway to greater understanding of those who are different, and that such acts reduce human hatred. And though we as a nation have progressed, sadly, we're still marching. Marching for those who remain marginalized. Still marching on behalf of our country's poor and disenfranchised. A retired teacher from Beloit who marched back in the day for fair and open housing recently said to me that maybe we stopped marching too soon. She said, maybe we just got tired. Maybe, she lamented, we naively hoped the struggle would fix itself or just go away. Today's national headlines, protests, and unrest suggest that perhaps the civil rights movement that Dr. King and many others led never really ended. If that is indeed the case, it will take all of us to help transform King's dream about peace and equality from a lingering hope to a living reality. And now the presentation of our 2015 MLK Heritage Award. Denora Marquez, director of Milwaukee's Latino Strings, was named Teacher of the Year by the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra and the Civic Music Association in 2012. 2010, Maestra Marquez was invited back to the White House with several of her students as part of First Lady Michelle Obama's efforts to promote the arts. In 2009, she was named Milwaukee Artist of the Year by the Milwaukee Arts Council. For her steadfast service, the state of Wisconsin and the Office of Governor Walker is pleased to present to Denora Marquez the 2015 MLK Heritage Award.
Buenos dias. That's the way it goes. I want to thank the MLK Heritage Award Committee for this great honor, for our children and our community, and I'm truly humbled. I also want to thank the United Community Center and Bruce Guadalupe Community School for 45 years of great service to our community and for believing in the talent of our young people. I most of all want to thank my family, my great husband, community artist and great activist Raul Deal, my beautiful daughter who speaks our stories and organizes for racial justice, my survivor mother who is a great example of grace under strife, and my musical family, my students, their parents, and my colleagues. My job is about teaching young people to be courageous, to become advocates of their own triumphs, of their own freedom, to search within themselves for all that is great and true, and to put it into everything they do. To join our humanity through music and make a better world with music. Since this award is about them, I asked them what I should say today to everyone, and they told me to tell it like it is. So in the spirit of Dr. King, in addition to saying thank you through our music, we say, we are here, and we are the reason that music and education matters. Through music, we excel, we thrive, we grow, we understand and share our culture, and we open doors as big as the doors of the White House. We are here, and no stereotype will define our worth, and our lives, and the lives of our Black Native, Asian, and brown brothers and sisters matter as much as the lives of our white brothers and sisters. We are here, and our families deserve the right to stay together, to live in freedom and pursue happiness. We are working hard, very hard, and we deserve the opportunity to financially support our education and go to college, even if we were brought here as children. We are here. We are here, and our voices will be heard through the excellence of our music, through the stories of our ancestors, and like the Mexican saying says, those who may try to bury us do not understand that we are seeds. Thank you very much. Muchas gracias.
Thank you, Denora Marquez. Well, you're just about in position to share some music that features your wonderful ensemble, the Latino Art Strings, and they're going to give us a couple of selections, so please give them a big Wisconsin welcome. Give them a big hand, the Latino Art Strings Program. Attorney Vel Phillips was born on Milwaukee's South Side in 1953. Well, in 53. Actually, she ran for a seat on the school board of Milwaukee's public schools and was the first black candidate to make it past the nonpartisan citywide primary election, though she lost in the runoff. 1956, she became the first woman and the first African-American member of the Common Council of Milwaukee. In 71, she was appointed to Milwaukee's county judiciary and the first woman judge in Milwaukee and the first African-American judge in Wisconsin. 78, Phillips made history as the first woman and the first non-white elected Secretary of State of Wisconsin. In her unyielding commitment to equality, equal housing, and jobs for Wisconsin minorities, and on behalf of the state of Wisconsin, the office of Governor Walker is pleased to present to Vel R. Phillips the 2015 MLK Heritage Award. We learned that Attorney Phillips, who I'm told just turned 91, is a bit under the weather today and not able to join us. Accepting the award on her behalf is Jessica Strong, a member of Madison's alumni chapter of the Delta Sigma Theta sorority, to which Vel is a member.
Thank you. Ms. Phillips was very excited and very honored to be the recipient of the 2015 MLK Heritage Award. Unfortunately, she is feeling under the weather and was not able to make the trip to Madison. As a proud member of Delta Sigma Theta sorority, she has asked that the Madison Alumni Chapter accept this award in her behalf. We are looking forward to traveling to Milwaukee to hand deliver the award to her. It is a tremendous privilege to accept this award on behalf of Ms. Phillips, who is not only revered in Wisconsin as a pioneer in civil rights, but someone who has cemented her place in the movement nationally. I know that she would want to thank the organizers of this esteemed event, including Jonathan Overby and Amy Overby, and that she would encourage each of you to continue to strive for justice, peace, and equality, just as she has done for over a quarter of a century. Thank you.
Well, in addition to conducting the University of Illinois Black Chorus, soprano Ollie Watts Davis is also a professor of voice at the university. She made her New York debut at Carnegie Hall in 1990. And she has appeared with many leading symphonic orchestras, including San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, and Dallas. She is quite the incredible woman and such a classy lady. Once again, here is Dr. Ollie Watts Davis, along with the University of Illinois Black Chorus, singing Give Me Jesus.
my burdens are light. Cast your cares upon my shoulders. I will give you rest.
Weary.
The University of Illinois Black Chorus. Come on, give it up for them. Though. Van Jones, CNN political contributor, and our guest speaker today. He's president and co-founder of Rebuild the Dream, a platform for bottom-up, people-powered innovations to help fix the U.S. economy. He's a Yale-educated attorney, written a couple of books, bestseller, The Green Collar Economy, the definitive book on green jobs, and Rebuild the Dream, a roadmap for progressives in 2012 and beyond. In 2009, Van worked as the Green Jobs Advisor to the Obama White House. There he helped run the interagency process that oversaw $80 billion in green energy recovery spending. Van's a hard worker. He's been acknowledged by a number of prestigious institutions and publications. His awards and honors include being named Rolling Stone's 12 Leaders Who Get Things Done, Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in the World, and Essence Magazine's 25 Most Inspiring African Americans. They're just some of his many recognitions and his work. Van has been hard at work in social justice for nearly two decades, fashioning solutions to some of urban's and America's toughest problems. He's the co-founder of the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights and Color of Change. I followed Van's emergence as a leader in our nation for several years now. In my view, his insights on national issues are very well measured. His television reporting is generally rooted in a spirit of empathy and compassion for all citizens of our nation. Please join me in giving a warm Wisconsin welcome to our guest speaker, Van Jones.
Well, first of all, can we have another round of applause for the incredible musicians and song? That was beautiful. That was beautiful. And let me say, happy birthday, Dr. King. Happy birthday, brother. You know, Dr. King, gone too soon. We talk about his birthday. I think he would be proud to see the birth of a new movement. And I think he would also understand why this new movement is sometimes misunderstood. He himself, we act like he was 80 years old, don't we, Governor? We act like he was a grandfather or a great-grandfather. He was 24 years old in Montgomery, Dr. King, 24 years old. I wouldn't let a 24-year-old borrow my car. I'm sorry, I call me ageist. 24 in Montgomery. If you lived in Madison, they might have called them young, gifted, and black. If Dr. King lived here. And 34 years old on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial during the great speech that he gave. Just 34. Dead at 39. Never saw his 40th birthday. I'm 46, 6 years older than him. 7 years older than him at his oldest birthday. This new movement. Imagine Dr. King, the most eloquent speaker of the English language, still somehow misunderstood. At the end of his life, the New York Times had turned its back on him. He was so controversial that even other civil rights leaders stepped away from him, didn't understand what he was talking about. He was accused of being for violence because when he had protests, there was violence. Imagine this man not being able to communicate in his own time. Now you have a movement of young people trying to communicate in 140 characters. At Twitter speed. we can understand why maybe we don't understand them as well. Be patient with this new movement. Be patient with these young people. They deserve the opportunity to be heard. Be patient with them. I believe if Dr. King were here, he would try to translate a little bit. When they say Black Lives Matter, I don't think they mean that Eskimo lives don't matter. I don't think they mean Latino lives don't matter. I don't think they mean police officers' lives don't matter. Let's pay them the respect to try to listen, because under the pain, there's some promise and a plan. I want you to know that when I was in Ferguson, I was there for CNN. Everything that you see on television isn't everything that's happening. The box is small, but the hopes of those young people were huge. And I wish we could hear their plea. They want three things that Dr. King would agree with. And I want to share with you what I think this new movement's about, and I want to share you a closing remark about Dr. King. But I think this new movement is one that Dr. King could stand with. And I think that we owe it to these young people to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think they want three things that everybody in this room can agree with. Number one, I think they want us to upgrade our policing. I think they want better policing. I think they want a better relationship with law enforcement. That would be a good thing. It turns out that if you poll people, the races actually agree that we could do a better job with our policing and the relationship with young people, and even having better oversight for law enforcement. These young people want and deserve better policing, but they want something beyond just that. They want these prison doors closed and the doors of opportunity open for them. They want the prison doors closed and the doors of opportunity open for them. And they deserve it. They deserve it. Sometimes we don't see the world through other folks' eyes because we're busy. But if you're a young African American or a Latino or Native American, you're looking at a very different America, especially if you're young, than folks like me and most of us here. Why? We forget, don't we? America's only 5% of the world's population, but we have 25% of the world's prisoners. One out of every four people in the world locked up. That's nothing to clap about. One out of four of every human being on earth behind bars are behind bars here in our country, in the land of the free. That is a moral disgrace. I don't think we're that much more criminal. But it seems to be an incarceration industry now that's gotten rolling. And who is it rolling over? I'm ashamed to say this, and Dr. King would be ashamed to say it, but he wouldn't run from the truth. We now have in our country, this is why these young people are marching, more African-American men locked up in the United States of America than were, by number and by percentage, than were locked up in apartheid South Africa. When Nelson Mandela was behind bars and the world was outraged, there are more, by number and by percentage, African-American men locked up right now in America than in apartheid South Africa. There are more African-Americans right now under control of the prison system than there were ever African-Americans enslaved at any one point in our country. Let that sink in with you. Is that because African-Americans are that much more criminal? I will tell you, by way of confession, I'm a graduate of Yale Law School. No. I'm a graduate of Yale Law School. If I'm gonna be honest with you, 90% of my classmates were nonviolent drug offenders. 90% of my classmates at Yale were nonviolent drug offenders, but they didn't go to prison. They went on to other things. Meanwhile, children a few blocks away doing the same drugs with less money wound up going to prison. So I know what to do with a young person who's in trouble with drugs because I saw them do it with rich folks' children. I know that rehab is cheaper and more effective than prison. So this young generation just wants the prison doors closed. And they want the doors of opportunity open to them. Teach these young people coding, computer coding. It's a shame to see all these young African-American, Latino, Native American, and other disenfranchised youth with smartphones in their hands. They know how to download an app. They don't know how to upload one. No one has told them that they have the power in their hands to become the next Mark Zuckerberg. And that's not the governor's fault or the senator's fault. African-Americans have to take some responsibility for continuing to tell our children that the way to make money is to go play basketball. 1 million black kids playing basketball this weekend trying to get in the NBA. The NBA is going to hire 15 kids a year. Silicon Valley says they're going to be 1 million workers short in 8 years. If we're not careful, we'll only have about 15 little black Urkels trying out for those Silicon Valley jobs. That's not Officer Darren Wilson's fault. We have to put maximum effort against maximum opportunity. We don't have to just do raps. We can do apps. Our children can do anything. Our children can do more than raps. We can do apps, too. Let's open the doors of opportunity for our children. Let's open the doors of opportunity for our children. Close the prison doors. Open doors of opportunity. And then let me just say this about Dr. King. It's his birthday. It's a new movement being born, but it's being born on his birthday. Governor, they said something about Dr. King on the cover of Time magazine that blew my mind. They put his picture on the cover of Time magazine, and they said under his name, Senator, Founder. When I saw that, my whole journey as an African American and as American snapped into a different kind of relief. If he is a founder, that means that the founding of this country took longer than just that little moment in Philadelphia. If he's a founder, that means that this is a new country. Why? I think that there is room for common ground now between liberals and conservatives if he's a founder. I think there's room for common ground between blacks and whites and Native Americans and Asians and Latinos if he's a founder. Why? Because even Thomas Jefferson was dissatisfied with the founding of this republic as we think of it. If you don't believe me, go to the Jefferson Memorial and you can walk up the stairs. And you can see on marble and in stone an inscription from Thomas Jefferson that baffled my mind. It says, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just." This is Jefferson, the founder. He says, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just." That doesn't sound like somebody who is thrilled with his accomplishment.
That doesn't sound like somebody who's triumphant and who's saying we've done it and we're perfect and we've done it and all is finished. That sounds like a man who's troubled. Why was he troubled? The enslavement. They hadn't been able to fix the enslavement. It troubled him. In a more enlightened moment, he might have reflected that women couldn't vote. It would have troubled him. That land had been taken from Native Americans, that even if you were a white man and you didn't own property, you couldn't vote. That he trembles for his country, reflecting that God is just. Something's incomplete. And yet that same Jefferson, that same slave-owning Jefferson, if you just turn your head, you see that even though the founding reality was ugly and unequal, already was present a founding dream when he says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all are created equal. Founding reality, ugly. Founding dream, beautiful. Who are we? Who are we as Americans? What makes us Americans? We are that rainbow people, that multiracial people, every color, every faith, every gender, every sexuality expression, every class, every kind of human ever born in one country. A miracle, a miracle, a miracle in human existence. And we are that unique people who put on our shoulders the burden of every generation trying to close the gap between that ugly founding reality and the beauty of the dream. Every generation, every decade, every century, we've tried to close the gap between the ugliness of that founding reality and the beauty of the dream. And the person who put the capstone on the process, young, gifted, and black, eloquent beyond measure, but not a rich man's child, standing on the steps, freestyling off the top of his dome. That speech wasn't even written, the last third of it. It was just off the dome, the greatest act of slam poetry in the history of the world, and it saved America, and it saved us. Happy birthday, Dr. King. Thank you for being a founder of a new republic. A democratic republic with a place for everybody. Thank you very much. Happy birthday, Dr. King. Happy birthday.
Please, once again, show him some love, some Wisconsin love. Give it up for Van Brown. Under the direction of Denora Marquez, here again, Milwaukee's Latin Art Strings. Thank you.
Oh, you can do better than that. Give him a big hand. Donora Marquez and Milwaukee's Latino Arts Strings Program. And now here to present the state proclamation commemorating this year's tribute and ceremony honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. is the governor of the state of Wisconsin, Scott Walker.
Well, first off, thank you all of you here for attending and those at home for tuning in to the 35th anniversary, the oldest in the country, of the Wisconsin State commemoration of the life of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. This proclamation declares it. I'm going to pass it on to Jonathan to pass around as well. But I want to say thanks not only for all of you for attending, but thanks to our guest speaker. It's nice to be here with you in person as opposed to getting grilled on the set. He does a good show. But particular thanks to all of our musical performers. I got to tell the University of Illinois chorus that this is probably the only time the University of Illinois gets cheered in Wisconsin, at least here in Madison near the UW. But you guys have done a phenomenal job. Thank you for coming up from the land of Lincoln. We appreciate that. A particular thanks to the Latino Art Strings, the young people that were here. Again, thank you to each and every one of them, and congratulations to their excellent director. I actually have a third grader I mentor with over at Bruce Guadalupe, and I know Ricardo Diaz is so proud of all the Latino strings, and he showed me when the expansion was done the new area where you practice, and they do a wonderful job. We're so proud of you. Let's give them another round of applause as well. And finally, I just want to say, now, I'm testing my memory. I think Vel might be upset. You got her 91 early. If my memory's right, her birthday is actually the 18th of February, 6 days after the anniversary of Lincoln's birthday. She'll be 91, and it's a shame she's not here today because Republican, Democrat, anywhere in between, she is a true iconic treasure here in the state of Wisconsin. 6 years ago, we named the Juvenile Justice Center in Milwaukee County when I was the county executive after her. She's a great hero and a great leader. Let's wish her all the best in getting well so she can celebrate her 91st birthday.
All right. Thank you, Governor Walker. Now, it's been our tradition for, more than three decades to pass this along through the audience. And if someone would come up and grab this and take it forward, Oscar Morales, here you are, chair of our planning committee. And and for 34 years, it has always come back, which is a really, really good thing. So we hope the tradition is sustained. Each year, we invite a student to recite an excerpt from Dr. King's famous 1963 speech, I Have a Dream. This year's presentation is by Jaden Nathaniel Colbert, age 9. He's a student at St. James Catholic School in Madison, Wisconsin, and a member of the Madison Youth Choir. Jaden's favorite subject is reading, and his hobby is singing. Please welcome Jaden to the podium.
Face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day, right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together. This is our hope, and this is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. And this will be the day, this will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with the new meaning. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that. Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews, Gentiles, Protestants, and Catholics will be able to join hands and sing the words of the old Negro spiritual. Free at last! free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Oh, come on. Jane Colbert, give me a hand, please. As our nation's oldest annual celebration, paying tribute to Dr. King's legacy of nonviolence and love for others and his dedication to justice and equality for all, cannot be sustained with just a single day of celebration. We still have, as you know, much work to do to make his dream a reality, not just for some, but for all here in Wisconsin and our nation. And now I'd like to say thank you as we close our program. Dina, you want to join me up here? Thank you. What did you think of the program today?
Oh, gosh. Incredible. Such an honor. Thank you so much for
thank
asking
you.
Me to help out.
It's good to have you here. Many thanks to Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and his staff, Dina Wright here, our dais guests, our many sponsors, volunteers, and the 2015 MLK Planning Committee, Oscar Morales, Reverend Vern Vysik, Karen Martin, Debbie Biddle, and Amy Overby. From the Capitol and Rotunda in Madison, Wisconsin, thank you for listening, watching, and attending Wisconsin's 35th Annual Tribute and Ceremony honoring Dr. Martin Luther King. Until next time, I'm Jonathan Overby. May your day be filled with peace and harmony. Thank you.
You know, it doesn't make much sense. There ought to be a law against anyone who takes offense